Quietly humming crystal blue persuasion, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast with soul. Suffering succotash, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Once again, you have reached the podcast, the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I almost said it backwards. The podcast man for lazy bee. Yeah, that's not correct. Anyway, I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert, as Drew McMillan just told you. Drew is my Canadian nephew, and he's an entertainer in Canada. He's a big shot. He's rolling in dough. And he is the host of a television show on Canadian television called Powerboat TV. Now, we in the States can watch episodes of that at the website of powerboattv.com. And you can see Drew doing his stuff. They have another host, a co-host that takes over some of the hosting duties. And I met him at Drew's wedding about a year and a half ago. However, Drew tells me that that guy is slowly being edged out and Drew is slowly taking over. So I think that future episodes are going to have more Drew and less of whoever the other guy is. Anyway, it again, as I said in our last episode, it has been quite some time since we recorded. We had our last normal recording session on New Year's Eve. And then Randy went off and decided to catch the Wuhan flu. And I went off and decided to wait patiently while Randy and Margaret recovered from having caught the flu. In the meantime, my new book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, with the red 2021 on the cover, garnered a one-star review. And that was kind of hurtful because I hadn't had many reviews yet. It was so newly published. But from a guy who doesn't like me using the term Wuhan flu. And I don't know what else he wouldn't like, but he was highly incensed that I would use the term Wuhan flu. So he gave me a one-star review. So I told Amazon, hey, get rid of that review. It doesn't have anything to do with the content of the book. It's just one idiot's opinion. And they said, don't call him an idiot because he's a valued customer of ours. And we're leaving that review. So if you have bought my new book that has a red 2021 on the cover, and if you liked it, why don't you go back to Amazon and leave a positive review to counteract this this very sensitive young man that or young woman or whoever it was that did not like my use of the term Wuhan flu on the podcast. Now, I have to tell you, last episode, it was kind of lonely in here because I did not have my normal sidekick and engineer, Randy Carson, to help me out. So I had to wing it all on my own. I sent it over to Randy, and he actually worked his magic on it. And I never did tell Randy that he made one horrible mistake. And that was that when I introduced our 30-second radio spot, that he completely missed that. And so there was like a second of silence where that radio spot would have gone. And then I came back saying, hey, that was pretty cool to listen to. So I'm going to be hoping that when I say, let's play that radio spot again, that Randy does not miss it this time. So let's all be quiet and see if he catches it.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So I am looking forward to getting an update on his physical condition and his Wuhan flu experience. So, Randy, tell us all about it.
Mr. Jones, I am back.
I'm glad to have you back. It's great to have you here. You look great.
How are you?
Well, I've been lonely. I haven't had anybody to talk to. You've been taking naps, apparently, all day long. Now, my recollection of your description of your brush with the flu is you put in some time in the hospital, but you never really felt that bad except for the oxygen level. Is that correct?
Right. Well, the thing, I'm kind of an expert now on the flu or COVID-19. Now, you know, COVID-20, COVID-21, where, you know, I'm looking for the better one now. But anyway, the COVID-19, Wuhan flu, whatever we want to call it, it affects different people in very much different ways. And many of the symptoms you can get, one is a headache, one is fevers, one is, I mean, there's a number of different things, very typical flu-like symptoms. But the other one that you can get, which unfortunately I got, is COVID pneumonia. I didn't have any fevers, didn't have anything, but I got the COVID pneumonia. So I was actually in the hospital for 2 weeks trying to relearn how to breathe, which was quite fun, quite an interesting experience, but I'm still learning that experience. So if I sound a little breathless, I probably am, but I'll get over that. They tell me I'm heading in the right direction, but it'll take a while.
You are heading the right direction. I can sound or hear a big difference in your strength of voice from when we first talked in January after you got out of the hospital until today. You have gained a widely measurable amount of strength in your voice. And so basically what you've also told me is that it's hard for you to do any talking for any length of time because the oxygen dries out your vocal cords and makes you want to cough. Is that correct?
That is correct. You would think oxygen would be a good thing for you.
Yeah.
And it is generally, but it has a lot of side effects. And one is to dry out everything it touches. And over the course of a few minutes, my vocal cords start getting really dry. And then I'm anxious to cough, but I don't want to cough in everybody's ears. So I'm going to cut her short here, turn it back over to Doug, and then I'm going to take a drink of water.
Okay. Nice talking to you, Randy. And we'll turn from Randy, and I haven't answered or I haven't asked all my questions yet about the effects of the flu, but I'll do that next time. I'm going to turn from Randy to another person that I really have a lot of contact with. And frankly, I've grown to enjoy my contact with this other person. This is Steve. Curious Steve. He's always got a question for us. And I used to think, oh, boy, when is this guy going to quit being a pain in my rear? But as time progressed and as he came up with ever more interesting questions, I learned to enjoy my correspondence with Steve because his very thoughtful questions forced me to do some homework, do some cogitation, and give well-thought-out answers, which is what a Medicare expert ought to do. We ought to not just slide on our laurels, but we ought to carefully think about what kind of advice we're giving. And so Steve came up with another question. I believe I received this yesterday. I received it today. And Steve asks, hi there. He didn't ask hi there. He just said hi there. I know this probably isn't an easy question, but do what you can with it. In choosing between Plan G and high deductible Plan G, you say this depends on your health and anticipated medical visits and bills. He said, I want to quantify this. All old farts, and I know he's not talking about me. He's got to be talking about himself. Look in the mirror, Steve. Look at my picture on the last page of the book. I'm not an old fart yet. So anyway, all old farts have some medical problems. He says, I take 6 to 7 prescriptions a day, 4 for hypertension. I have 4 doctors and see them about 2 to 4 times a year. I avoid hospitals, except 2 years ago I needed to have some scans, which cost me $400, I think, each out of pocket. So given this, how do I decide between regular Plan G, which is more expensive, and the one I recommend often, high deductible Plan G, which is much less expensive? So Steve wants to know the basis for making that decision. All right, so I took a lot of numbers. I sat here this morning and I crunched numbers like you wouldn't believe. And I took three different cities with fairly large populations. And I'm getting the Randy syndrome. I got to lubricate my vocal cords. Forgot what they were.
I put that idea in his head, and yeah. Now he's got to cough.
Came through the screen at me subliminally. Well, this is the peril that you do when you work with somebody who's an engineer who's technically inclined. He knows how to do stuff like that, and I cannot do it. So what I did was I took the numbers from big time insurance companies located in three different cities. The first one I used was Chicago. And I said to myself, if I've got a client in Chicago who can't decide whether he wants the regular Plan G, which is more expensive, or the high deductible Plan G, I'm going to go to various sources, various companies. In this case, I went to four different companies, and they're all A-plus rated. One of the companies is known for its very aggressively priced high deductible Plan G and its dedication to premium stability. In other words, they haven't raised their high deductible Plan G rates in many areas of the country in a couple of years. I don't see that holding because all these insurance companies have been hit hard by the flu, the virus, the Chinese virus, and so they're all going to be raising their rates at some point. But I think this is a valid comparison because, frankly, if they all have to raise their rates, they're still going to probably be in the same relative relationship. So I looked at Humana, which has several plans available. The plans are all the same benefit, but they've got various subsidiary companies that offer coverage. So in this case, I was able to look at three different Humana plans. And my client, Steve, is going to be offered the lowest available Plan G premium and the lowest available high deductible Plan G premium that I can find. So out of all the plans, three Humanas, one Mutual of Omaha, Blue Cross Blue Shield, United American, I found that the best deal for him for a regular Plan G was $139 a month. Now, if he were to be dedicated to the concept, as I hope all of my listeners are, to the concept of a high deductible Plan G being a better deal, then it would be $37 a month for this 65-year-old non-smoker in Chicago. So the difference between the high deductible Plan G, which he could take, and the difference between the regular Plan G and the high deductible is $102 a month. Now, that $102 a month, theoretically, he could take the high deductible Plan G and then bank that $102 a month. What happens here is he goes on Medicare. Medicare and the Medicare supplement that he has will not pay anything towards his medical expenses until he's had $203 of medical expenses in 2021. After that $203, Medicare pays 80% of his outpatient expenses, and the supplement is responsible for 20% of his outpatient expenses. Now, if he pays $139 a month, he goes to the doctor a few times, he has some other medical treatment, maybe lab tests and stuff, the supplement kicks in right away and pays the 20% that Medicare does not pay. So that's what the supplement is there for, to reduce the out-of-pocket cost of his medical treatment during the course of the year. But what if he doesn't want to pay $139 a month? That cuts into his beer funds, and he wants to maybe save a little money because he knows he's healthier than the average bear, and he would rather see what kind of an impact he could get with a high deductible Plan G. All right, so instead of the regular Plan G at $139 a month, he's going to purchase the high deductible Plan G, which costs $37 a month. Remember, he's a 65-year-old non-smoking male in Chicago. So the difference, he saves $102 a month. And that $102, he sticks in his sock or in under his mattress or whatever, maybe in a bank. But what he does is he socks away that $102 every month for a whole year. He will have over $1,200 in that sock or under his mattress at the end of 12 months. So that's pretty cool. Now, what if he has some medical expenses? Well, he's going to have to dip into those funds that he saved, and he's going to have to reduce the amount of money he has available. So instead of $1,200 at the end of the year, 20% of the couple of doctor's appointments, he might have $100 less. Let's say he has $1,100 in that sock. Let's say he had some lab tests or whatever, or he talked about scans that cost him out of pocket $400 with his employer plan. Now that he's on Medicare, those scans probably would cost a lot less. So let's say that's another $20 a piece. So there's $40. So let's round it up and say that he's used $200 of sock money to pay his 20% of the Medicare approved treatment that he's had. That would be doctor's appointments and a couple of scans. So that leaves him with $1,000 in his sock. And it turns out that he made money during the course of 2021, because even though he had some medical treatment, it wasn't intense, it wasn't expensive, it didn't go on for a really long time, and he winds up with $1,000. Now, what if he had had a really bad year? What if he had to take all of his sock money out, and it still wasn't enough to cover his big deductible from the high deductible plan? What kind of tragedy would befall him? Well, as it turns out, what we would do is we would look at the high deductible plan's deductible of $2,370. And we would say, okay, that's his exposure. He had to write a check for that amount because he had all kinds of hugely expensive medical treatment. However, because he had the high deductible insurance plan, he wound up saving $1,200 that he would have spent in insurance premium. So let's take the $1,200 off the top. So instead of actually writing a check for $2,370, take the $1,200 out of there, and you've got $1,170 that had to come out of his pocket. Now, that would be his amount at risk for that year. He was at risk for the difference between the high deductible plan deductible of $2,370 and the savings, the actual outlay, which represented a savings of $1,200 for the year. So he really had $1,100 at risk. And because he's a guy who, frankly, is not destitute, he is able to dip into his other savings to pull out $1,100. But it was an unusual year for him. He had high medical expenses. What's the break-even point? Just under $12,000. Now, think about your own situation. Do you have a $12,000 year? Very often, probably not if you're a normally healthy human being. You might have a bunch of doctor's appointments. Your drugs don't count because that's a separate kind of plan. But do you want to spend $37 a month, or do you want to spend $139 a month? Is peace of mind that important to you? Frankly, almost everybody I know would not have a problem. They wouldn't like it, but they wouldn't have a problem dipping into their mattress for $1,000 or $1,100 if they needed to for an emergency. And that's kind of what this would be, an emergency fund that would have to be spent on medical treatment. Now, that was in Chicago. Those numbers represented $100 a month savings between the regular Plan G and the high deductible Plan G in Chicago. And if we move to Phoenix, then I'm going to see a difference between the lowest cost Plan G and the lowest cost high deductible Plan G, a savings of $110 a month. So that works to his advantage. If we move to Los Angeles, the difference between the lowest cost Plan G and the lowest cost High deductible plan G is even greater. It's $156 a month. So 156 times 12, I would normally ask Randy what that is because he's got his hands free to do some ciphering and he counts on his fingers and everything. But it's going to be in the neighborhood of $1,800. So if he has a bad year, he happens to live in Los Angeles and he has a heart attack or something really serious happens to him and he uses up all of his high deductible on the 20% that Medicare won't pay, he will wind up with an actual amount at risk of about $600. Now, that's a pretty reasonable risk for a savings of $156 a month. If nothing bad happens to him, he will have saved that $1,800 and he'll start the next year with a big plus, a big pile of cash under his mattress or in his sock drawer or whatever. And the more years that go by without him having super duper medical expenses, the larger that pile of money grows. The savings actually accrue to the date when he might have something serious and he has to really dip into that money. But generally speaking, he's going to be money ahead, and that's just the way it works out. Now, why don't you hear more about high deductible plan G? Why is it that your friendly neighborhood junk mail distributor or the people who call you and bug you or who send you emails all the time, especially in the fall, why don't they ever talk about high deductible plan G? The reason they don't is because their earnings, if you buy a product from them, their earnings are a percentage of what you have to pay. So let's suppose that they earn 10% of your monthly premium. And let's say we're back in Chicago, your monthly premium would be $37 a month. In Phoenix, it would be $52 a month. And in Los Angeles, it would be $39 a month. So we're talking about less than $5 in most cases per month that the agent would make. Now, if you purchased a much more expensive product, like in Phoenix, you would purchase the $162 a month product, his earnings are three times greater. Well, he's not going to want you to find out about the high deductible plan G because he's going to starve to death on the commissions that he would earn selling that product. I, on the other hand, am not that concerned about it because I believe that you will be satisfied with that product for much longer. So it's not a problem for me not to make as much money because I believe that you will be pleased and you will not be switching to another company or another agent when they flash shiny things in front of you to attract your attention. So I believe that is what I have to say about the answer to Steve's question. I bet I'll hear from him as to whether or not I did it successfully. I'm hoping I did, but we'll see. We'll see what he says. I'll have to report back if he doesn't like it because I'll be trying this all again. Randy, I think that's going to be it for me today because my vocal cords are drying up again.
Oh, look, shiny. Oh, is that one of those there Medicare Advantage plans?
Yeah. Oh, boy, don't open that can of worms.
I'm telling you.
We'll be here all day talking about that.
There's a couple things that I would like to share with the audience based on my recent personal experiences. I'm sure glad. Let me give you a few of the parameters leading into this comment. I was in the hospital for right on 2 weeks in a private room in the infectious disease ward. Okay? So you can imagine.
That sounds like fun. Card games every night.
And I had more doctors than Carter has pills. I had this doctor, that doctor, a doctor to watch after the doctor. And you can imagine what kind of costs that would have built up had I not had. And what do you expect I had, Doug?
I think you had a Medicare supplement.
I did.
Chosen carefully by your very intelligent wife.
Yes, I did. And if it hadn't been for that supplement, that would have been a very worrisome hospital stay.
Yeah, boy, I know. Some of the more attractively priced Medicare Advantage plans, like the ones that don't cost anything that Joe Namath will tell you all about.
Yeah.
This thing, they come after you. You're in the hospital. They'll be in your room every day asking you to write a check.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it's you get paid on the, or they get paid on the backside. They might not cost anything up front, but oh boy, if you need the benefit, often that's when you have to pay the piper.
So the thing I would like to point out to the listening audience, listen to what Doug tells you. It's the real deal. It will save your financial life when you least expect it. And what I was doing in the meantime was I was becoming an expert on Brexit.
No kidding.
Yes, not Brexit. I'm not talking about the one where they're breaking up the European Union. I'm talking about Prince Harry and Meghan.
Oh, okay. Because I like the other Brexit better.
Yeah, yeah. I guess they call this one Meg. What do they call this one? There's another one. But anyway.
Mega Brexit?
Anyway. So anyway, I'm becoming an expert on that. And during this last few weeks, the Queen has decided that it's impossible for Prince Harry to keep his honorary titles. So he has been, all of his honorary titles have been removed. And unfortunately, she just recently contacted me and said that I can no longer represent her at the Guinness Brewery.
Oh, my God. Well, now, let me ask you this. Were you unable to, were you like Miss America? If she is unable to do her duties, perform her duties, and there's a stand-in waiting? Is there a stand-in waiting for you?
I don't know. The way they phrased it was all the honorary titles that Prince Harry held were transferred back to the Queen. So all I know is the representative at the Guinness Brewery has transferred back to the Queen. And I don't know if she's, sticking to it and occasionally having a pint down at the brewery.
Well, I would hope they toast you, even though you're not there. I would hope they're at least raising a pint to you every once in a while in your memory for having done such a fantastic job. Because I know every time you and I talk about beer, the word Guinness is never far from your lips.
There is absolutely no other beer that's as close to my heart as Guinness, other than the various Miller products.
Are you able to indulge every once in a while?
Yes.
Is that against doctor's orders or?
It's not really one of the things they recommend that but hey, if what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, that's how I look at it.
Well, I'm pleased to see you back on the job. I'm very happy that you're sounding better, and I'm looking forward to moving ahead slowly, measuredly, but, making progress all the time. So thank you for being here today. It was kind of lonely having to do this all by myself.
Well, I tell you, I've missed it myself because every Tuesdays and Thursdays and, all the good days before we dropped the podcast, I was thinking about you in the hospital going, I should be on the job. But unfortunately, at that point, the oxygen flow that I required to stay alive was much higher than any of these tanks that you could take with you would support.
Right. So, and you had to stay within a certain radius of the oxygen supply. I understand
that. Yes, yes.
Well, I'm going to look forward to our next opportunity to get together, which hopefully we'll get back to our routine of 3 episodes a week. And in the meantime, this is Doug Jones, your Medicare expert forever and ever and ever, and coming to you from the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, where you can reach us by email at DBJ. Those are my initials, DBJ@MLMpodcast.com. Is that? No.
No, MLMmailbag.com.
Thank you so much. I had trouble last episode, too. DBJ@MLMmailbag.com. Go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and look for the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's going to have a red 2021 on the cover. That's going to be the correct one. That 2021 is not in the actual title, so don't search for it. Just search for Medicare for the Lazy Man and then pick the book that has the red numbers on the cover. We used to have a choice. You could pay $14 for a paperback with pretty colored pictures, or you could pay $8 for a paperback with black and white pictures. And it appears that the audience has voted overwhelmingly for the less expensive black and white. So I stopped publication of the colored expensive paperback, and now it's going to be easier for you to get the cheaper version. If you search for Medicare for the Lazy Man, it should cost you $8 on Amazon, $3.80 for the Kindle version. And every day I look for that audio book to come down the pike. It's been over 4 weeks now, and I don't know how long they can drag it out, but someday they're going to approve it and put it on sale, and then we'll have that third option for you. So that's all the yakking I've got to do today. I'm from Oklahoma. I should have had Randy's list of things that he closes out the episodes with, but I don't have it handy. So I'm just going to say I'm the proprietor of Medicare for the Lazy Man, and I land the plane and put the stuff in the overhead bin, and I think that's everything Randy hits on. So I think
next time I will have my full spiel, and I will put it out just like I normally did. Good. Actually, I'm having to retrain myself because we're coming to the end of the podcast, and I totally forgot my sign-off.
Well, your sign-off was lengthy and voluminous, and it involved crickets, and I didn't hear any crickets, so we'll have to crank them up for next time, too. But
next time.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you soon on the next episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Bye-bye.